Let us pray. Loving God, you promise more than we see. You intend more than we know. You lead us more than we trust. Awaken our hearts with your word. Stir up your spirit in us to wait for the dawning of your delight among us with grace and faith. Amen. A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, who shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of life. Thank
you, God. Listen for the living word of God. As you hear the good news from Luke's Gospel in the 21st chapter, Jesus said, "There will be signs in the stars and the sun and the moon, and on earth distress among nations that are confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint with fear and foreboding for what is coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the human one coming in a cloud with power and glory. When you see these things, stand up and raise your heads, for your salvation is coming near." And Jesus told them a parable. He said, "Look at the fig tree, or any tree. You know how when it begins to put out leaves, you can see and you know for yourselves that summer is coming. So also, when you see these things, you know that the reign of God is drawing near. This generation will not pass away until these things have come about. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard, therefore, so that that day does not come upon you unexpectedly like a trap, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and attachments and the worries of this world. For this is coming upon everyone in the world. Be alert at all times and pray that you will be given the strength to endure these things that are coming and to stand before the human one." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's pretty weird. It's one of those parts where Jesus starts talking in ways that sound to us kind of exaggerated, a little extreme. Until you read the news about terrorism and mass shootings and nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves, because with global climate change that we're trying so hard to deny, the sea levels are rising and storms are getting worse. Maybe Jesus wasn't exaggerating all that much. I don't know exactly what Jesus meant when he had those apocalyptic visions, what he thought was going to happen exactly. I do know that Jesus probably did not mean that God is going to do bad things to the earth or to people on the earth. God is love. Love doesn't do bad things to people for any reason. What strikes me is that all of those signs that we see that give us grave foreboding in the world are not things that God are doing. They're things that we're doing. We can't blame climate change or terrorism on God. What also strikes me is among all those awful things, what Jesus sees is signs of hope. All that doom and gloom, and Jesus says, wow, lift up your heads, your salvation is coming. Because he sees hope. Now, when we talk about hope, it's not like the world generally uses that word, which basically means wishful thinking. I hope our team wins the game. Basically means that's something I want. But whether they do win the game depends entirely on how our team plays and the other team plays and all sorts of other factors. But in the context of faith, when we talk about hope, what we mean is trust in what's already present, even though we can't see it. It's trust that God is already at work. We just can't see it yet. Like the coming of spring. It doesn't look like spring, but I hope in spring. Now, some people will say, well, duh, you don't just hope spring will come. You know spring will come. And I say, that's what hope means. I hope spring will come, and I hope Christ will come. And they both will. I just have to wait. And the signs are there. If you go out and look at the trees, they already have these little tiny buds. They're all ready for spring. They're just waiting. If you spend a lot of time in silence, still the chatter in your mind, let all the words and especially the judgments drain out. If you spend enough time in silence and stillness, what happens next is that stuff bubbles up. And a lot of times what bubbles up is a pretty mixed bag. There are all sorts of wounds and fears and uncomfortable feelings and pain and anguished memories. And they're all out of our control, which is why we don't like to sit in silence. Because we know stuff is going to come up and we don't want to go there. So we keep ourselves real busy. And we are one of the most unsilent cultures in the history of the planet Earth. We're so busy and so chatty and so noisy because we know that if we get silent, we're going to start hearing stuff that we don't want to hear. But when Jesus looks at all of those signs, he sees signs of hope. Because, in fact, it's not all nasty inside you. If you sit long enough and you let all of those fears and losses and doubts and all of your anger and all that stuff bubble over, just let it keep coming after a while, it flows off and something even deeper bubbles up. And that's hope. Your deepest hope. It's usually pretty deep. So it takes a long time to wait for it to emerge, like waiting for a wild animal to come out of the woods. You can't just barge in there and say, okay, deer, come, come. They're not going to do that. But if you sit silently and wait, they'll come to you. Your deepest hopes that you may or may not even know that you have. Hope is one of the things that makes us human. And when we really hope, it's not just wishful thinking. It's not just our appetites and our desires. It's what we most deeply trust that is coming, that we don't see yet, which is why our hope is in God. And God's hope is in us. It might seem peculiar for us to say that God is hoping. Partly because, again, people think, well, God is omnipotent, right? If God wants something, God doesn't hope for it. God just makes it happen. But God is love. And love doesn't work that way. Love doesn't always get what it wants. The cross reminds us of that. God simply and only loves and trusts the power of that love to just wait and see what happens. So God also is hoping. And again, some people would say, well, why would God hope? Because God already knows everything, right? God is trusting in what is coming and yet to be, even though even God can't see it yet. God is still creating. When we talk about God as a creator, without really thinking about it, what we're actually usually picturing is God as a retired creator. Worked really hard for 7 days and then has been collecting a pension ever since. But God did not quit. God is still creating this world every moment, still making the world new, creating a future that even God hasn't seen yet. That's what that promise from Jeremiah is. God says, I have a future for you, and I haven't even seen it yet. But I am hoping it in you. God is hoping for God's future in us. Scripture gives us some kind of broad outlines of what that future that God has for us is like. It's pretty consistent all the way through. It's a future of love and justice, of mercy and reconciliation and deep harmony with all living beings. It's a future in which there is the belovedness of every person and the blessedness of every being. From the very first covenants with Abraham and Noah and the rainbow all the way through to the book of Revelation, there's this promise of this loving future. But what that actually looks like in this world or in our lives, Scripture doesn't say. We will have to look for signs of what that's all about. And one of the strongest places that we can see signs of God's hope is in our hope. That's how God hopes in us. So Advent is that time when we enter into the darkness and the stillness and listen for God's hope hidden within our hopes. This season, you listen to those Christmas carols and you notice how many of them sing about the hopes and fears of all the years. When lo, the day foretold by prophets of old, all those promises longing for the future. Advent is the time when we stop. I know it's hard. December is the hardest month of the year to stop and listen. Set down the recipes, set down the cards, set down the wrapping paper and the shopping lists, and just listen for your own deep hopes. And in them, hear the hope of God. So in our worship, I'm going to invite you simply to spend a few minutes in silence, waiting and listening. Don't worry about being good at meditating or being deep in prayer. Just listen for the hope of God. If your mind wanders, which all minds do, that's what they're made to do, listen for God's hope in that wandering and come back to that question. What are my deepest hopes? What are God's deep hopes? Let's listen. God of love, the world cries out in longing for your peace and mercy. And you have cried out with love and grace in the life of Christ. And so we give you thanks and pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.